This is a Shift Podcast Network production.
Welcome to Here and Back Again. I'm David O'Callaghan, and this is a podcast looking at all things releasing weekly on streaming and in cinemas, with a bit of pop culture bits thrown in for good measure. The witching day is fast approaching, folks, and in preparation for those Halloween festivities, both streaming and cinema releases are definitely starting to lean into the jump scare aspects of our viewing content. So while there is a lot of quality stuff dropping this week, and I mean a lot, I thought we'd go rogue and across both cinema and streaming, focus first this week on the horrors, good and bad, that await us. So, shall we begin?
Body in the blood?
Catherine.
Body in the blood. The body in the blood. The body in the blood.
Catherine.
The body in the blood.
Catherine.
The body in the blood.
Have you ever seen anything like this?
Mommy?
No, but there are people out there who have.
You have some experience with possession.
Yes, more than I'd like.
The Exorcist Believer is the sixth installment in the Exorcist franchise and serves as a sequel to the 1973 original. In this one, we get a buy one, get one free exorcism as not one, but two girls are possessed and their distraught parents seek out the help of none other than Chris McNeil, played by Ellen Burstyn, yes, from the original movie. As most of you who listen to this podcast will know, I have a bit of history with this franchise, having seen the first movie in an Inchicore cinema aged 8, or was it 7? But all I know is I adored that first movie, despite it freaking me out. It was a visceral roller coaster that, well, scared and scarred me for many a year, but not as much as my older brother who still wakes up in a cold sweat. As for the sequels, meh, not so much. So I approached this one with both excitement, because, you know, it had a pretty freaky awesome trailer, and caution, because, yes, we've all been burnt before. Jason Blum and Blumhouse have handed David Gordon Green, who gave us the somewhat patchy new Halloween trilogy, the keys to this one. And where Jamie Lee Curtis was brought back in Halloween, here, yes, original suffering mom, as I mentioned, Ellen Burstyn returns. What can I say about it? Well, you know, yeah, it's a pretty decent horror, despite its lack of originality, and do you know what? If you've seen the trailers, you may have seen most of the jump scares. However, if you are a horror fan, you know you're going to be in, purely for the IP of it all. But it may feel tamer than you may have expected. While for the casual horror fan, there's enough there to unsettle you while sitting in a packed movie theatre. Ultimately, it does have the feel of a movie setting up its trilogy storyline, with the second movie, The Exorcist Deceiver, due in cinemas 2025. It may have run away from Taylor Swift's Eras Tour concert movie, and that, yes, may have been the sensible option, despite, sadly, the loss of the hashtag ExorSwift. It has a nice early run for horror fans in early October, and kind of gets us all in the mood for Halloween. So, while it's not going to blow your mind, and weirdly kind of plays it safe for a first installment, this one is definitely worth the nose. The Exorcist Believer is now in cinemas.
You're all gonna burn in hell.
Or something to that effect.
I'd like to report a crime that hasn't happened yet. Have you seen the movie Back to the Future? Basically, I'm living that movie right now, which is how I know there's gonna be a murder tonight.
Hate time travel movies. They never make any sense.
Happy Halloween.
How about we all stay in and hand out Halloween candy?
No, Mom.
You know how hard this time of year is for us.
Your friends were murdered 35 years ago.
It's not 1987 anymore.
Stay safe, honey. I love you.
Another Blumhouse-produced horror flick lands on Prime Video this week in the form of Totally Killer. Sabrina's Kiernan Shipka, along with Olivia Holt and Randall Park, star in this time travel slasher comedy set in both the present day and 1987. Let me repeat that. Time travel and slasher flick. Oh yes, I am so here for this one. This horror comedy about a scream queen who accidentally time travels back to the 1980s and comes face to face with our town's legendary prom killer who stalked her mother and her friends looks like a whole lot of ridiculous fun. Will she save her mom's friends? Will she defeat the killer? Will she make it home or just be trapped in the glorious 1980s? Will this movie have a totally killer soundtrack full of banging tunes? You know it will. Nonsense, ridiculous, and an absolute must-see for horror heads out there. That's Totally Killer, which is now on Prime Video.
The hell is that? First place I learned about death was the pet cemetery. The secret place. Generation to generation, dead things buried in that land would come back as something else.
Pet Cemetery Bloodlines on Paramount Plus is a 1969 set prequel to the Stephen King novel that, well, I'm not sure anybody truly asked for. Jackson White, Forrest Goodluck, Pam Grier and David Duchovny star. Based on a previously unpublished chapter of the book, it explores the dark secrets of the somewhat creepy town of Ludlow, where the lead character Judd and his friends will be forced to face, yes, an ancient evil which has gripped the town for centuries. Absolutely straight from the White Van VHS Man School of Ropey-Dopey Horror that, well, at least has Pet Sematary in the title. So, despite me knowing this is going to be absolutely crap, sign me up. So Pet Sematary Bloodlines is now on Paramount Plus. Another interesting one for the Halloween bug out there is Make Me Scream on Prime Video, which is a reality show where star couple and horror fanatics Tempest Bledsoe and Daryl Bell host a ghoulish competition where celebrities like Jaleel White, Shaniqua Shande and Lil Xan and their friends take on haunted mazes, dungeons and various scream zones where the aim is, yes, not to scream. The team who screams the least win. What do they win? Some sort of a medallion. Anyway, me personally, I have never been a fan of these real-life horror attractions. I do not need to meet a man in a mask with a chainsaw in a cornfield who stands very still and awaits my arrival. Nope, not for me. Get away, back off. But, do you know what? It looks quite funny. And as I said, who will take home the much coveted and ridiculous-sounding Medal of Mayhem? Make Me Scream is now on Prime Video. Also out this week, Disney's remake of the family horror film Haunted Mansion lands on Disney Plus following its absolutely shocking and not in a good way theatrical performance. But, as I said in my previous review, while not a cinema release, this is most definitely a streaming release worth your time. The film has a quality cast that includes Lakeith Stanfield, Rosario Dawson, Owen Wilson and Danny DeVito, and yes, throw in a bit of Jamie Lee Curtis, and is the perfect Halloween entertainment for families who enjoyed Hocus Pocus 2 last year. Smallies may be a bit disturbed because it's a bit dark, but tweens will defo enjoy it. That's Haunted Mansion now streaming on Disney Plus. And finally in the Halloween horror disturbing section this week, we have Bargain on Paramount Plus. Sweet Lord, where do I even begin for this one? Bargain is a no-holds-barred and absolutely batshit new Korean series that follows people who travel to a remote hotel to sell their virginity or buy human organs on the black market and all other sorts of double-crossing, plot-twisty kind of crazy shit. But things quickly turn sour when the latest auction is hit by an earthquake and the various characters, whether victims or villains, must do whatever they can to survive. And yes, the roles suddenly become reversed. Uh-oh. Buzz is really high on this one, with Squid Games being mentioned quite a lot in conversations. If you are looking for something dark and slightly unhinged, and yes, crazy times, Bargain on Paramount Plus is streaming for you. And definitely for me. And there you go. That's the horror junkie sorted. Whew, all sorts there. Up good and bad. As regards the other big streaming releases, and as I mentioned earlier, there are some doozies being dropped for your pleasure.
I've been pulled through time between the past and the present.
Hello?
If what I saw is true, there's nothing to stand between this world and utter destruction.
Only one way to find out. A little good old-fashioned legwork. Listen, we have different styles. You're a man of action, which is fine. I take a more slow, deliberate, cerebral approach.
It's really goodbye.
Tom Hiddleston and Owen Wilson return in Loki Season 2 on Disney+, and we get to rejoice completely as Marvel gets back to what it does best. Having seen the first three episodes of the season, I confirm that we're back, baby. We are back. Unlike the recent disasters and, yes, extremely poorly made TV shows, this one feels like the grown-ups are back in the room. Tight storytelling, great special effects, fascinating characters, and a sense that this is actually all leading somewhere important in the great Marvel Cinematic Universe. Multiple timelines and Jonathan Majors returning as Kang and Sophie DiMartino as Sylvie. Can Loki and Mobius prevent the end of days? Ki-Hui Kwan also joins the cast as the fantastic Obi. Love him to death. And joins this race against Armageddon. Oh yes, it's time to find out how it all turns out in this short 6-episode series, which drops weekly starting this week. That's Loki Season 2. Now on Disney Plus. And it's pretty dark, folks. This one's pretty dark, and I love it.
Se faire cambrioler est une expérience désagréable. Et ce, afin de vous éviter les aléas d'une surprise, j'ai pris la décision de vous prévenir à l'avance que je m'apprête à dérober votre perle noire.
Vous en connaissez beaucoup, vous, des braqueurs qui vous invitent à leur casse.
Yes, yes. Oui, oui, magnifique. As someone who got an E in French repeated and then got an F for French, Lupin Part 3 is now on Netflix, where the gentleman thief Hassan Diop, played by the wonderful Omar Sy, is back for another intense plot to avenge his father, this time involving a rare jewel heist. Is it not always a rare jewel heist? Anyway, I love this series, not only because it's a heist series, but well, because of the Frenchness of it all. Omar Sy is absolutely mesmeric in the lead role, and I could watch him plot and deceive for many an hour or three. The show's third season will see Lupin race against time to save his mother before it's too late, while obviously tricksing his way out of any difficult situation he encounters. This one's always given me those Benedict Cumberbatch Sherlock vibes, if Sherlock was a mild-mannered French thief, that is. Love it, love it. Je t'adore. Lupin Part 3 is now on Netflix. J'adore, not je t'adore. See? Absolutely merde at French. Merde of the highest order.
How did I get so lucky?
Are you talking about me? Or your job?
Both. I love you so much.
I wish we could tell the whole world.
But we're breaking company policy.
You can't keep up.
He's not you.
Just tell me what's going on here.
He's promoting me.
Congratulations.
Fair Play on Netflix is their big movie release this week. Big, big, big. It stars Phoebe Dynevor of Bridgerton fame and, yes, of recent Stonybatter fame, as she sat outside Gran Owen Slice a few weeks back with Dylan O'Brien and, of course, I did not approach them, either of them. I just smirked and nodded, and not in a creepy way. Don't talk to the stars, people. Don't talk to the stars. And yes, speaking of stars, it also stars Alden Ehrenreich from Solo, A Star Wars Story. In this one, they play a newly engaged New York couple who work at the same cutthroat hedge fund financial firm where office relationships and hookups are completely banned, and when Phoebe's character gets promoted ahead of Alden's, well, let's just say their relationship is thrown into turmoil and this post-Me Too drama takes quite a dark turn. Receiving wonderful hype across the festival circuit, this looks like a proper grown-up cracker of a movie for a Friday night. Bit of old-school erotic thriller thrown in. Yes, sure, why not? Sexy times, financial times, awkward times. Sign me up! That's Fair Play, now on Netflix. And speaking of sexy times...
I keep rewriting the old stuff. What ifs and hypotheticals don't really matter in the end, do they? Nothing matters in this world if Tessa's not here.
Hope you're making progress on the new book. Everyone is dying to see it, and I'm afraid I can't keep putting people off.
Can't rush greatness, can you?
I can when I've given you a $250,000 advance.
I met Natalie over Christmas. She asked after you. She moved to Lisbon.
Lisbon? Mm.
After Everything on Prime Video is the final movie in the After franchise. Number 5 is Alive. Vines Tiffin returns as Harden Scott, and this film sees his character travel to Portugal, where he reflects on his past mistakes and attempts to make amends with Tessa Young, played by Josephine Langford. I have not watched a single movie in this franchise, but I am fully aware that this Hot and Steamy Windows series has a huge fan base who have been drooling. I mean, drooling relentlessly for this final installment. I'm also aware that some of that hardcore fan base are listening to this right now and have possibly already watched it twice. You, my friends, you know who you are. Cold showers all round! What can I say? After Everything is now on Prime Video.
I never really did well at school because all I ever wanted to do was play football.
My manager kept saying, try and keep it under wraps. So we would meet in car parks, and that's not as seedy as it sounds.
Classy.
I suppose that most blokes have looked at the television so they're like, don't fucking end up with them.
My life had become something different.
We were worried that he'd lose all what he'd worked for, because football come first and all of a sudden it wasn't.
OK, David, big smile.
It definitely didn't change me.
We changed, there's no doubt about that.
There are some pretty box office documentaries dropping this week, and first we have Beckham on Netflix. In this one, David Beckham explores his family, career and rise to fame in this tell-all documentary. As you know, I am not in any way a Man United fan, and I'm not really a Spice Girls fan, and overall, the whole Beckham thing, I'm like, meh, I don't love him, I don't hate him, I just couldn't be bothered. But as this documentary approaches and I hear more about it, directed by Fisher Stevens, who some folks will know as Hugo from Succession, but also is the Oscar-winning documentary director of The Cove, this suddenly has become a definite watch with its warts and all approach. From dressing room bust-ups with Alex Ferguson, that kick, that famous boot to the head, and post-World Cup meltdowns and the fan abuse that he received, and also including discussions about their marital troubles with Victoria, this, as I said, has it all. Fergie and Victoria feature prominently throughout, but it is Beckham and his honesty here which should make this four-part doc an absolute must-watch, even for his haters. Beckham is now on Netflix.
Okay, my name is Tupac Shakur, and I attend Tampa Pi High School. And I'm 17 years old.
It was my responsibility to teach Tupac how to survive his reality.
My mother taught me to analyze society and not be quiet. If there's something on my mind, speak it. Because, okay, I gotta go to a meeting. My mother was a Black Panther, and she was really involved in the movement.
My mother never let me forget my history, hoping I was set free, chains that were put on me.
Dear Mama on Disney Plus is a docuseries which has dropped with the most insane of timing. It follows the life and legacy of Tupac Shakur and his mother, the Black Panther activist Afeni Shakur. While most Tupac docs have been focused on his murder, his beefs and his battles, this is a much more low-key and fascinating insight into the truth behind the legend. It is as much an observation of his wonderful mother and how she shaped him into that legend as it is about the man himself. With the story breaking in the US this week that a suspect has been arrested for Tupac's murder after 27 years, this, as I said, feels like very appropriate timing. Quite mad, but looks quite fantastic. So that is Dear Mama, which is all up now on Disney Plus.
Performing for one last time tonight, ladies and gentlemen, it's One Direction!
I thought for me, it was the band or nothing. It was hard for me to imagine myself on my own.
I didn't see a way back, not even musically, just to do anything. And I started to feel, oh, well, maybe I do have some individual worth.
What about making some music on your own? I remember calling my mum. She was like, well, that's obviously what you're going to do.
Louis Tomlinson, all of those voices on Paramount Plus, follows the former One Direction member as he navigates solo stardom. This raw and unflinching doc, which deals with the tragedy and the grief he experienced and how he picked himself back up again to become a global solo star, is again, feels like less of a puff piece and more of an observation of what it's like to experience the highs and the lows of a career in the pop rock world. It all looks a bit insane, if you ask me, sure we knew that, and is also definitely worth a look. So that is Louis Tomlinson, all of those voices, which is now on Paramount Plus. Also on Paramount Plus, we have Strip, which is a brand new reality series uncovering the glamorous world of high-end strippers working in the hottest club on the Vegas Strip. For these women, stripping isn't just a way to make ends meet. It's a profession, it's an art form, and a cornerstone of the Vegas economy they are part of. This one follows a main cast of 12 women on stage, backstage, and outside the club, all determined to be the best in the business. So Strip, all episodes, is now on Paramount Plus. And in Race to the Summit on Netflix, this one is a German documentary where fearless alpine climbers Yuli Steck and Danny Arnold enter into a death-defying rivalry to set speed records on the Swiss Alps' Great North Faces. Absolute mad as a bag of cats. What are they like? If heights are not your thing, well, stay well away from these lads. That's Race for the Summit, which is now on Netflix. Guess I'm still not in the grave.
Pretty far from the cage you left me. A big part of this has to come from you. Knowing your own body, respecting the recovery plan.
And I admit that I was scared as hell of the things that I might do to myself.
I understand what I need to do now, so I can go back to school and see my friends and just be normal again.
Mia, how are you?
You know how it is.
No, I don't. I've never been to a mental hospital.
In the new British drama Everything Now on Netflix, after months in recovery for an eating disorder, 17-year-old Mia devises a bucket list of quintessential teen experiences to make up for lost time. Starring the fab Sophie Wilde in the lead role as Mia, she was recently seen in the wonderful teen horror smash hit Talk to Me. This one was originally titled The Fuck It Bucket, but instead they went with the more drab Everything Now. It's pretty crap and sad, as a lot of people may miss it because it's a pretty beige name. But hey, seek it out. It looks like a lot of fun, looks really great, and yeah, pretty edgy stuff. So that's Everything Now, which is streaming on Netflix. And wrapping up for the final bits, Desperately Seeking Soulmate, Escaping Twin Flames Universe, which is now on Prime Video. In this one, we journey to the wacky and weird fringes of internet culture. Based on journalist Alison Hines' investigation, this docuseries unveils the dark truth behind the Twin Flames universe, an alleged online love cult. So Twin Flames Universe is an online group run out of suburban Michigan by the captivating YouTube influencers Jeff and Shelia Devine. The couple's promise is to match members with their perfect partner, but former participants describe the extreme lengths they have been taken in order to claim their twin flame. This one just gets crazier and crazier as Hines delves deeper. Desperately Seeking Soulmate, Escaping Twin Flames Universe is now on Prime Video. And finally on streaming this week, we have the Korean action thriller Ballerina on Netflix. Grieving the loss of a best friend she couldn't protect, ex-bodyguard Ok-ju sets out to fulfill her dear friend's last wish. Sweet, sweet revenge. All you need to know is it's Korean, it's an action movie, it's a revenge movie, and this is violent as hell. And it's got nothing to do with the John Wick ballerina movie that's coming next year. So that's Ballerina from Korea, now on Netflix. And there you go. That is your streaming for the week. And as I said, woo-wee, there are some pretty decent crackers on there. Right, moving swiftly along, we've already done The Exorcist, but now it's time to look at the rest of cinema.
Yeah, what can I do for you?
Okay, picture a cell phone and an email machine all in one thing. There is a free wireless internet signal all across North America, and nobody has figured out how to use it. It's like the Force. Sorry, have you seen Star Wars?
No.
That guy is sketchy.
I don't think he's sketchy. The guy's a shark. I know how to market it, and I know who we can sell it to. But I want 50% of the company, and I've got to be CEO.
I don't know who you think you are, but deal. Are you joking?
BlackBerry is the latest in the line of company and big brand biopics. The ones like Air, Tetris, The Social Network, and Steve Jobs. And, folks, it is simply wonderful. I mean, holy crap. Exploring the incredible growth and tragic collapse of the world's first smartphone and how it smashed huge enterprises for surrendering to, yes, the big bad Apple and its iPhone. This movie has to be seen to be believed. Based on Jackie McNish and Sean Silkoff's book, Losing the Signal, and starring Jay Baruchel and Matt Johnson as the nerdy creative inventors. By the way, Matt Johnson, who stars, also directed the movie, and along with his McEnroe-esque headband, has possibly the coolest collection of t-shirts I've ever seen in a single movie. It is, however, Glenn Howerton from Sunny in Philadelphia who steals the limelight as the sketchy investor and bitter co-CEO Jim Balsley. His performance is astonishing. This is a once-in-a-lifetime moment for him. And you know what? If this was distributed by a bigger studio, I'd already have him as a hot favourite for an Oscar nomination. Sadly, that'll probably be Ben Affleck's Air movie that will literally suck the air out of this movie's Oscar chances, which is a bit unfortunate. This one is set in 1996 and beyond, and hence comes with an banging soundtrack, as the kids would say, and I repeat, it's an absolute cracker, and I cannot recommend it enough. Some of you out there are hopefully old enough to remember what a BlackBerry is, and yes, let the nostalgia flow. Beautiful, beautiful stuff. BlackBerry is now in cinemas.
Today I'm talking to, well, perhaps Ireland's greatest ever hurler. Definitely Ireland's most infamous hurler, Gar Cantlin. I see you've got the documentary crew here. You're probably as famous at this stage for your off-the-field antics as your on-the-field heroics. The whole relationship between you and the legendary hurling coach, Billy Byrne.
I've got this covered. You just trust me. Trust you.
Now, on to this failed drug test business. As you all know, I'm a man about town. A playboy. I hang out with models. My girlfriend is a model. Models use cocaine.
You clown, you.
The Hurler, A Campion's Tale, is an Irish sports comedy from debut director Tony Kelly, who also wrote the movie, and who also stars as GAA icon turned villain Gar Campion. While at times you can feel the low budgetness, is that even a word, of this endeavour, it more than makes up with it with a decent bit of heart and some genuine humour, both from the lead and his supporting cast. Kelly in his role, which is definitely inspired by fashion icon, that man himself, Paul Galvin, is fun in the lead role, and he does balance the tightrope act between funny, annoying, and being a bit of a self-centred dope. Carl Spain, for me, is a bit of a standout in the movie and is quite hilarious as the local GAA-loving Garda and steals every scene he appears in, while Elva Trill is pretty decent as the local love interest and friend of Gar. Pat Short is fun as a Brian Cody-esque GAA legend, and, well, Marty Morrissey is Marty Morrissey, and at some point will most likely turn up in an Irish horror movie, if he hasn't already. Not so good, in fact awful, is Dave McSavage, who totally hams it up, and not in a good way. It's almost like he is aware that the camera is there the whole time and it's all about him. Oh, Dave, get off the screen. You were shocking. The lack of actual hurling is also a bit of a disappointment. However, overall, I found it a funny enough movie. I definitely 100% snorted once or twice. And it's about a topic that bizarrely rarely is visited by Irish filmmakers. Irish horror movies seem to get all the buzz and funding these days. And if recent releases were anything to go by, I'd place this one slightly behind Boys from County Hell, but definitely ahead of last year's Let the Wrong One In. While at times absolutely veering into low-budget, Dumbelievables territory, when this movie does hit the right note, it's quite fun. It definitely feels like something that the parish, yes, the parish would appreciate, if not at the cinema, then on TV. And it definitely also feels like a decent calling card for Kelly. So that is The Hurler, A Campion's Tale, now at cinemas.
I want to go to France.
What are you on about?
The trip to the beaches, D-Day. Really sorry, Bernie. You left it too late.
I couldn't leave you all on your own.
Unless you have to. Where is he? He's disappeared off the face of the earth. He's in France.
Bonjour.
At 90. Well, he has done it before. Only then, of course, they were shooting at him.
The Great Escaper is inspired by true events. The film tells the story of octogenarian Bernard Johnson's escape from his care home to attend the 70th anniversary of the D-Day landings in France in 2014. Starring Michael Caine and Glenda Jackson, this is a movie that brings their acting talents to the fore and shows that no matter how old you get, you never lose it. Oh my God, it could have been so twee. It could have been all chucks away, lovely, lovely, hurrah for the Brits. But instead, it's a wonderful story of belonging, determination, but ultimately the enduring love between two people. Oh my God, Blubfest, absolutely wonderful. As I said, Jackson and Kane are so good in this. Like, maybe it's my yet again love of old people movies, but it's definitely worth catching either at the local multiplex or when it eventually lands on streaming. But bring the hankies. Oh my God, bring the hankies. That is The Great Escaper, which is now at cinemas. And finally at cinemas this week, we have Tarak. This was filmed on the Dingle Peninsula in County Kerry and is an award-winning Irish language film and is on limited release. A woman returns to her home on Ireland's southwest coast after her father suffers a heart attack, where she finds herself returning to the competitive world of rowing in Navogues, which are native Irish boats. More than just a sports movie, this is a tale of grief and recovery, and it's a pretty charming, feel-good Irish language film. So that is Tarak, which is now on limited release in cinemas. And there you go, that's your movie roundup. Yeah, some pretty decent choices out there. Choose wisely, choose wisely. Now, I do believe we should listen to a bit of music, and what lovely music it is.
So you are tired of us, so rest your head. Turning back 14 years of what I did and said. So you are breathing disaster.
Javelin is the 10th album by American musician Sufjan Stevens, who of course hails from Detroit, Michigan. Stevens created the record mostly by himself in his home studio, while yet again the national guitarist Bryce Dessner played acoustic and electric guitar on the record also. Good old Bryce. This will be the first time that Stevens returns to full singer-songwriter mode. This is the first one since 2015, which was the depressing yet beautiful Carrie Ann Lowell. This album's release comes after Stevens' recent diagnosis of a rare autoimmune disease, Guillain-Barré syndrome. And sharing his experience on social media last month, he revealed that he woke up one morning and couldn't walk, with serious illness leading to time in hospital for tests and treatments. Now undergoing physical therapy to get my body back in shape and to learn to walk again, he also explained that it's one of the reasons why he hasn't been able to participate in press and promotion leading up to the release of the album. I am so here for this. The three songs already released sound like a harking back to the intimate times, and this will surely be a thing of beauty. So that is Sufjan Stevens' Javelin, which is now available wherever you get your music. And just as a, you know, little quirky one, somewhere between The Power Lines and The Palm Trees is the third studio album by American rock band Dogstar. Who? Well, if that name kind of rings a little bell, it's because they haven't had an album in 23 years. And yes, the bass player is none other than Keanu Reeves. Yes, Dogstar, somewhere between The Power Lines and Palm Trees, is out now. Moving on to three things. First up, while cinemas were initially worried to see the writers and actors strike send some of the big autumn movies like Dune 2 and Craven the Hunter off into 2024, it looks like their saviours are coming from the most unexpected places. First, it was Taylor Swift with her Eras Tour concert movie. And now we have Beyoncé, who has also announced that she will be releasing her concert doc, Beyoncé Renaissance, in US cinemas on December 1st. Similar to Taylor, this one initially only has a US release, but I'd say they're probably just sorting out the old contracts for European and UK cinemas, and I fully expect it to get released here also. Unlike the Taylor Swift movie, which is purely a concert movie, Beyoncé's features both live footage of her concerts, but also behind-the-scenes footage of her inspirations and preparations for the tour. Next up, we have movie merch auctions. Who doesn't love a good movie merch auction? Places where we go, we look, we can't afford anything. Well, Prop Stars Entertainment Memorabilia have just announced the crown jewel in their early November auction, which is Anthony Daniels is putting up the original C-3PO head for sale and is expected to get somewhere between 500k and 1 million sterling. Holy crap! He's also selling his hands and feet, the robots, not his, which will, you know, get less, but my God, for a tin can, what a load of money. Some of the other items in the auction include Captain America's shield from Captain America, First Avenger, Joaquin Phoenix's costume from the Gladiator arena fight, Leonardo DiCaprio's costume from Titanic, and Robert Englund's Freddy Krueger glove from A Nightmare on Elm Street. I'm fairly confident that all of these are well out of my price range, but I'm always intrigued to see how much they go for. And finally this week, following its season 3 finale, Only Murders in the Building has been given a green light for a fourth season, and fairly immediately, with all the main stars returning. One person who will not be joining the cast, as some people had hoped, is the third amigo, Chevy Chase, who stated on the Marc Maron podcast this week that he wishes his old co-stars good luck, but isn't too interested in reconnecting with them on their show. Ooh, was he even invited? Who knows? Well, to me, it's a pretty final, but you never know. And there you go, a week of more highs than lows. Plenty of content there to keep us distracted. And I haven't even mentioned Ireland versus Scotland in the rugby or Arsenal versus Man City in the footy. So, whatever poison you choose this weekend, enjoy. This is David O'Callaghan for the Here and Back Again podcast, wishing you all the best. And until next week, stay safe and binge happy. I don't know why, but I just get giddy every time post credit turns up. I just get giddy, and yet again I must welcome you. Hello, post credit traveler. Welcome yet again to the Thunderdome. I had so many ideas and plans for this post credit pod, but you know what? This episode is already at 40 minutes, and I know you have all lives, and those ideas have now been moved forward to a later pod, because it's now currently, I kid you not, 12:45 a.m. on Thursday/Friday morning, and I need to get this pod out to the twos and threes of followers out there. desperate to hear what's happening in the world of pop culture and streaming and movies. So let's go with this last minute late night nugget. With Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul behind him, Vince Gilligan has been busy creating a brand new series, which is going to be, let's say, quite different from what he's been doing for the last 15 years. The new series, which is still untitled, will star Rhea Seehorn, who starred alongside Bob Odenkirk on Better Call Saul. And in an interview in Variety this week, Gilligan said, "I have no prediction as to how folks will react to it, whether they'll love it or hate it, or somewhere in the vast in between. But I know it's a story that interests me, and Rhea will be playing a very, very different character than she played on Saul." Here's a weird thing. It's actually still set in Albuquerque, except seemingly it's a whole new world. No overlap. She's just playing a character who is not Kim Wexler, but hopefully people will roll with it. I'm nervous. It'll be interesting to see how folks react to it. Keep preaching, Vince, keep preaching. Asked to describe it further, Gilligan said, "The world changes very abruptly in the first episode, and then it is quite different. It is the modern world, the world we live in, but it changes very abruptly. And the consequences that that reaps hopefully provide drama for many, many episodes after that." Folks, it's Vince Gilligan, it's Rhea Seehorn, it's a friggin' sci-fi show. You had me at hello. Right, time is calling. We need to get out of Dodge. The people are clamoring for their pods. With that, I will bid you adieu, be well, and talk soon.